Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the Gospel just read, taken from St. Luke chapter 4, the temptation of our Lord. Johann Gerhard, a Lutheran pastor from many years ago, once wrote that the entire life of Christ was one fighting temptation, and that we, through holy baptism, enter into that same battle. Temptation has been the struggle of man since the fall into sin. All the way back to the garden, the struggles of the flesh in food, in twisting God's word to our own desires, and of worshiping the false God who promises the world, but instead gives us hell. These have been our constant companions, the thorns that prick at us and will not go away. This is your life for baptized. This is your life, for when you were baptized into his death, you were baptized into his life. And Jesus' life was one of constant temptation and struggle against the devil. Every step he took, his birth, his epiphany and baptism, his ministry of healing the sick and preaching the gospel, every step was beset with this constant question: will you go to the cross? The people want him to provide food for them, to take care of their basest needs. The Pharisees and scribes want to trick him with the word of God so that he will deny his messianic purpose. Even the disciples, his own closest followers, when he speaks of the cross and impending death, they are aghast. They cannot fathom a God who would become man and who then would die. What kind of a God dies? Not possible. Even the closest friends of our Lord sought to deter him from his holy purpose. You can't do that, God. That just doesn't make sense. It's against the rules. But what of you, O baptized? How often have you forgotten God in favor of satisfying your own flesh? How often have you satisfied your sinful actions with a misplaced Bible passage, or a coverall love, means do whatever you want? How often have you forgotten the way of the cross, the way of sacrifice for your neighbor, of giving him what you have and trusting that God himself will provide for you? You know the answer to these questions. The answer is that you justify your false actions. You forget all the time. You forget you are dust. Dust you shall return. You forget that the wages of sin is death. You forget that apart from Christ you are nothing. But in Christ you are kings and queens in the heavenly kingdom. It is for this wretched forgetfulness, our willful disregard for God's word, that our Lord came into the flesh. It is for this reason that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It is for this reason that he fasted. It is for this reason that he allowed the devil to do his worst. It is for this reason that he lived. It is for this reason that he died the lonely death of a criminal, the greatest sinner, for he took all our sin into him. So what does all of this mean for you, O sons and daughters of Adam? It means everything. The walk of the Christian life is not one of victory to victory. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But that is not so. The walk of the Christian life is the walk of Jesus. It is the life of sorrow and hardship, where joy is found not in the little battles with sin we overcome each day, It is in those little battles that we lose all the time. Walk of the Christian life is Christ-like. That means a walk that doesn't make sense. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. But don't misunderstand. This isn't a sadness or some sort of gloomy passage that only Lutherans could really appreciate. Far from it. Our Lord said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It is in this suffering, rejection, and death that you are most like Christ. For where the world sees weakness, there is strength. When the devil sees victory, that is his greatest defeat. When our sinful nature cries out against us that we are giving up our very lives, we cry out that Christ's life has been given for us. Our Lord's temptation in the wilderness isn't simply some sort of example that we're supposed to follow, like a formula for beating temptation. 6 easy steps to never sin again. His temptation in the wilderness is your defeat of Satan. No matter what may come your way, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the sin or grief or sorrow you bear, Christ takes it all into himself. And the suffering that you bear ties you to Christ in a way that is mysterious, simple, deep and impossible to understand. Your suffering ties you to him. He suffered for you. That is where the cup of our Lord's Supper fits in so beautifully with your life as a Christian. The cup of blessing which we receive from the Lord's hand is the sure and certain promise that our Lord has died and risen again for you. And that the trials you undergo today, the temptations you face, that our Lord has given himself to you in these trials. Where you fail by weakness, sin, he himself succeeded. He has paid the price for you. So come and receive the blessing of the Lord. Do not believe that lie of Satan, that either you can do this on your own, or that you should despair because you can never do it. It is done. It is all done in Christ. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can't harm us done, none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word. Believe it.